Hope I'm on. Am I on? Yeah. Talk about getting sentimental there. I wasn't going to cry, but I definitely want to play golf now. You reminded me a bunch there. This morning, we're going to look at truth, all right? We're going to look at truth, and I want you to remember that scripture reading. At the very end of the scripture reading, when it says that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for, and it gives a list of things, and it says to equip, right? There's the word, to equip. So this morning, we're going to look at truth, and I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do with truth when you see it, when you have it? What are you going to do? First, you got to know how to define truth. John chapter 1 and verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. I want to make that very clear, that the law of Moses was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through. Look at the difference. One is given, the other one came through. What would be Jesus Christ, came through Jesus Christ. So the first thing we're going to notice is that when we're defining truth, it's impossible to separate truth and Jesus Christ. If you separate truth from Jesus Christ, you have nothing. And everything can be contested. So as you're living life, as you're growing as a Christian, when you think about truth, let it never be said of you if you're talking to someone and that person asks you, what do you think about, you know, X, Y, and Z concerning Christianity, biblical things, worship? Let it never be said from you that you say, well, I think, well, I believe, well, I feel, well, it should, well, it is, should be your answer. Because you know where to go get truth from. And that's going to be through Jesus Christ. Now, where did Jesus leave his truth? Jesus left his truth for us in the Bible. You think about John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. Jesus there, he leaves a promise to the apostles. I'm going to give you the comforter. I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you the Spirit. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays to God that when they receive this, every single one of us would hear and believe the Word of God because of the teaching that the apostles were going to be giving. Fast forward, Acts chapter 2, the apostles were given that promise and Jesus and God made good on delivering the promise. And so now they have the preaching and the teaching. They have the truth. And guess what? The people who were listening at that time to the first sermon understood that these guys had the truth by various signs and so forth. But also, after they were believing and repenting and confessing and being baptized for the remission of sins and were being added to the church, you think about Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Now here comes the promise. Here's the truth with Jesus. We know he gave it to the apostles. And the people who were being baptized at that time into the church, it says there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, and they stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and prayers and so forth. Now look at what they did. These Christians understood where truth was found through the preaching and teaching of the word from men who had it correctly. And then they were smart enough to say that we are going to stay steadfast. That means immovable. That means I know I got the truth so much, you cannot move me. That means that you're strong like Moses when you're taking people out of Egypt. You look at the Red Sea, all the congregation there of the Israelites were going crazy. Moses, what are we going to do? Moses, I'm nervous. Moses, I'm scared. If you don't know what to do, stand still. That's what he's saying. Stand still and see what the Lord will do. And what did Moses have? Truth. And what did they see? It happened. That's what you got to tell yourself. You never waver. You're never leaving because you know that with the truth, you can stand and it's going to happen. And look at where it's found, John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It's inevitable. Everyone goes to word for truth. There's a free thinker where I work, and he calls himself a free thinker. He's an atheist, and I tell him things, and I go to the Bible, and he tells me things, and he goes to one of his books, and I know because I've studied a lot of that, and when he's talking, I record him. And then I'll go back and see if I can ping any of those things on my phone to see where it came from. And of course, it comes from someone's book, Sam Harris, whoever, Richard Dawkins, it comes somewhere. And so the other day he says, all you can do is go to the book. I said, all you do is go to books. That's all you do. And I explained to him that knowledge comes from word. God gave us word from the beginning of time. We started to have that because it's God's will that this is how we receive knowledge, through writing, through understanding. And so I said, you're not a free thinker at all. You go to words also. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, here it is, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see the word through there underneath? You've got to go through him to be with God. And you've got to have Jesus. And Jesus, the grace and truth are going to come through Jesus. It seems like everything worthy of life and Christianity and eternal life comes through Jesus. If we could get that in our mind, in an understanding that everything comes through Jesus, what you should be asking yourself is, do I know Jesus? Because if I don't know Jesus, I don't know truth. I don't know salvation. And I for sure don't know the Father. And so you've got to be asking yourself those questions. Look at John chapter 18 and verse 37. And Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. He was born for this. You see that? He was born to be a king. He was born to be the Messiah. He was born to be your Savior. We forget that. And I say that with emphasis because we wake up in the morning and we take Jesus for granted. We take Christianity for granted. We get up, we get our cup of coffee, we do what we have to do, we live our life, and we forget, I am an heir. I am an heir. I have inheritance of this royalty because he did these things for me. Look what it says, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I came, or I come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. You want to see the truth? You see Jesus. There's a lot of people who use it in the sports world now. You'll see things happening and they'll be like, that guy's the truth. No, he's not. He can hit a home run. And this doesn't make him the truth any more than it makes you and me the truth. There's only one man who is truth, and that is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5. And if you're remembering the Bible class from this morning, right? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5 is following that context. And it says, to him we did not yield submission. And to whom did we not? We did not yield submission to people who were teaching other than truth. To the Judaizers that were teaching something other than what Jesus had imparted to Paul. And so it says, to whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You see the truth? The truth is going to be left for Christians, that you shouldn't waver. I don't even joke with people and say when we're conversating, let's just say that you're right. Just for the argument's sake. I don't even do that. You can't even go there. There's no just saying anything if you know what is right is right. And look what he's saying. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So this is implying already that we know how God is defining truth. Truth came through Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1. It came through the fathers. It came through the prophets. Now today it talks to me and you through Jesus Christ. We know where truth comes from. Now what was Jesus preaching on that gospel message? Truth. And he was preaching truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now look at Galatians 2 verse 5 in a new light. That the truth of the gospel, what Jesus bled for, what Jesus died for, what Jesus has left us, the truth. And it came where? Through Jesus. That what's it going to do now? That it might continue with you. Now you got a problem. Because now if you're studying, you're learning, you're understanding that you have a commission, that you have a responsibility with truth. And a lot of us forget that that responsibility is strong. The first thing you're going to do with that truth is save yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. But the second thing you're going to do is let people hear you. How do I know that? It's because that's what Paul tells Timothy. That take heed to the doctrine. Why? And in doing so, you'll save yourself and everyone who hears you. You see the word? Who hears you? It's your responsibility that you're going to be doing something. You are going to be doing something with this. And we've become so lackadaisical as Christians that we let the gospel do for us. When we call congregations, let's say we're moving somewhere, what do you guys have? Do you guys have classes for children? Do y'all have, what do y'all have? We talk about all the programs they have. It should be the call. What are y'all struggling with? What can I help you with? Because that's what the truth demands of us, to help. Why is it important? Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. This is why truth is important. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We can't do it. We can't let our children grow up to cross the road by themselves, because there you are. You've seen them in the parking lot. Stop! They yell, stop! Stop! And you're looking around thinking somebody's dying, and that little girl is like two steps from the mother. But they're worried, because they have to be told. This is how you're going to do things. Look both ways. They're across the road. I don't see you looking. I don't see you. Look left. Look right. You've seen it, right? I see smiles because it happens. Because we're worried that much about our children's life, a physical life. Now think about Christianity and the truth that we have. We're worried because we can't direct our own steps, because we need to focus on what the Bible says. Now look at John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, that's it right there. If you abide in my word, if you put it on like as sure as I'm wearing these clothes today, if you put on the word like that, you think about 2 John in verse 9, right? That he who does not transgress the word of God, but what? That he who abides in it has both the Father and the Son. And so Jesus is saying, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You testing yourself to see if you're a Christian? I told you I was going to challenge you a little bit today. What's your relationship like with Jesus? Do you read his word? Do you have the truth? Are you his disciple? Well, are you abiding in his word? It's very simple to see. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Obviously, from sin, to be coming into the gospel of Christ. Why is it important? All right, so we're seeing truth today. We're seeing why it's important, what we need to do with it. We saw how Paul handled it this morning in Galatians chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 4. For this is good. You see the word good? This is a good thing and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires. Now, you want to know the mind of God. You want to know what he desires. And a lot of people say, I don't know what God's going to do. Yes, we do. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, that what was written before times was written for our learning. What do we learn in the Old Testament? Well, a huge amount of the learning in the Old Testament is how God is going to react with our problems. How God is going to react when we fall, when we leave, when we do things that are foolish. And so, we're seeing God's character. And look at what it's saying here. What does God our Savior, this is acceptable in his sight, who desires. What does he desire? All men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Gnosko. That's the Greek word for knowledge. That's the kind of knowledge that God desires you to have. Now, let me tell you that knowledge. The best way to describe this, at least for me, is if you've ridden a bike in your life, and let's say you were all right at it, and you're 10 years old, 13 years old, and you get too cool and you can't ride the bike anymore. You start looking for a car, right? It could be the time you have children. Next thing you know, you're 25, 26, 28 years old, and you can get on a bike, and what's going to happen when you push off? You're going to ride. Because you remember how to ride. It's something that you don't have to think about anymore. That's the type of knowledge God wants you to have with the truth. He wants you to have recall. He wants you to be able to save people and to be saved by the coming to the knowledge. That's why it's important. Without knowledge, there's no salvation. Without truth, there's no hope of knowledge. 1 Timothy 4, 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine, which you have, look at what it says, carefully followed. If you haven't read the book of Deuteronomy in a long time, please read it. You will see over and over and over and over, carefully follow, carefully follow, carefully follow, carefully follow. What? The truth, the doctrine, the teaching, what God says. And it's going to tell you over and over, when your children ask you these things concerning truth, when the children ask you these things, what are you going to tell them? We were once slaves in Egypt. That's why we worship God. They take them down to their lowest depths because they want them to hold that truth, garner that truth. You know what most people tell their children today? Why are we going to church? Because that's what we do. Because that's what the Lord commanded. Because that's where we meet together. Because that's what we're going to, how you're going to be raised. And we wonder why we lose our children. In reality, when your child asks you, why do we have to go on church on Sunday? Because I was once lost in sin. Because I was once on my way to a fire hell. And God saved me. And I'm not losing you. You see how it's more impactful? That's all because you come to that knowledge of the truth. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, this is what is expected and why it's important. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, born again and with knowledge. You see that? You can't worship God if you're just born again with no knowledge, because you'll be worshiping God in ways that He has not prescribed. You can't worship God in truth with all the knowledge and not be born again because it's not accepted. So you have to have the knowledge to come to the truth, be born again, and then worship in truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 through 4. Look what it says. For the time will come, this is everywhere around us now, and the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure healthy doctrine. Healthy teaching, sound hygiene, we talked about it, right? Hygiene. So they're not going to have a sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Unfortunately, every single one of us probably, I don't know how long y'all been in the church individually, but for most of us, we've dealt with people who were in the church, who have left the church and so forth, and they just don't see it that way and so forth. They're changing ways. No, it's because they didn't have truth. They were never ready for truth. In John chapter 12, 47 through 48, this is how important it is. And I want it to sink in. I want you to be listening. I need to know you're listening right here. Look at what it's saying. And if anyone hears my words, you are all now null and void. You have no option now. You've heard the word, you live the word, you breathe the word, you're a Christian. Now look what it's saying, how important this is. If anyone hears my word and does not believe. So this means you could once be a Christian and then through a lack of studying and so forth, you could work your way out of Christianity and you could become what the Bible calls an apostate because you once heard, you're not believing. Look what it says. And does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world. This is Jesus speaking. But to save the world. Now, how's he going to save them? If he didn't come to judge them, how's he going to save them? He who rejects me and does not receive my... You see the rejection? The words. The words. If anyone hears my words and does not receive my words... has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. You know how many people say, well, I don't know how God's going to judge me. I'm going to let him judge me. Let God's grace and it's going to, his mercy's deep. His grace is deep. Here's the sad thing. You can't put a measuring stick on his grace. You don't know how he's going to act as well as the next person, or do we? Look at what he's saying. You know how I'm going to act is what God says. You know what Jesus is saying is, here it is. It's all right here in the Word. If you want to know how I'm going to act, you can find it. And all you got to do is look. It's here and He can tell you, but you're not going to live it in your life if you don't understand that it's truth. And this is what happens when you refuse it. It's going to be bad. Look at this one. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It is unrighteous before God to suppress the truth. Look at this in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love the Word of God? Well, how much time do you spend with the Word of God is a good rule of measure to see how much you're loving the truth, how much you're loving God, how much you're willing to do things for God, and so forth. Now look what it says here in verse 12, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth. Now here's the deal. God, it doesn't have gray spaces. It's either white or it's black. It's either right or it's wrong. He's not going to give a gray space. And so he doesn't either here when truth is concerned. Look at your responsibility. This is the church's responsibility for truth. And this is so true. And it's something that we always forget. And we always start to not look at the big picture of Christianity, but start to look at the smaller things. Look, these things I write to you. So again, you're seeing it in writing, you're seeing it in word, you're seeing it in a form of knowledge, and it's going to become truth. This is what he's writing. Though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that, now we get the understanding, so that you may know, there's that pesky word again, knowledge. God is calling Christians to have knowledge. Please don't read it in the New Testament when it says no, and you just think it's like us, well, I know that I need to go to HEB. No, it's not that kind of no. When you read this, understand that it's a knowledge that you're supposed to hold dear, that you're supposed to abide in and live in your life and understand that. But you will not have it that way if you haven't dedicated your life, if you haven't seen Jesus as truth, if you haven't believed with all honesty and truth in your heart that the Bible is the Word of God and it is true and it holds up to the test of time. How do we know that? Because we have archaeological proof. You want to see the walls of Jericho? If one of you wants to buy me a plane ticket, we can go together. Right? We have archaeological evidence. We have historical evidence. The Bible historically has never, ever been proven wrong. And so we're understanding that if you really hold it like that, you would love it. You would want to live it. And ask yourself a question before we move on to our responsibility. If you didn't show up to your work 2 days, 3 days, you're going to start getting phone calls. After about 4 days, they're going to call the police. Can you go check his house? And after that, they're going to start wondering where you are. They're going to get worried. And after they've worried enough, they're going to write you off and you're fired. You're done. Think about Christ. Christ is married to the church. Christ is married to us. How would you feel if your spouse didn't come home that night? Where are they? You'd be worried sick. You'd be calling all the hospitals. You'd be trying to figure out where they're at. And then days and days and days and go by and you're longing and longing and longing and you're in turmoil. How do you think Christ feels when we're not in truth like we should be? Where is my Christian? I don't see them. They must have not believed wholeheartedly that truth is what I said it was, because now they're doing things their way. And look what he says here. I write so that you may know, that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know how to act. That means there's a way we act in church. There's a way we act as Christians. It's called walking worthy of the gospel call which you have. How do we know how to act? It's by having the truth. You know, when people start to argue about the color of the walls and who took out the trash last and all this and that, you're not in the big picture. You're not in the big picture. Those things can work themselves out. We've got to work that out. Look at this. your responsibility. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Now, you want God to see you? Do you remember growing up, especially if you were a young man, right? Because I could speak to this. And let's say it's baseball, because I love baseball, and we'll talk about it this season. And your dad is training you and training you and training you. You make that hit, and everybody's excited, and you've presented yourself the way your dad has told you to present yourself, and you've practiced, and you've done all those things, and you're happy. You can see the pride in your dad's eyes, and it's a great moment. You love it. You just make your dad happy. It's so great. Look at this. Present yourself approved to God. You want to make God happy? A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Look at what he says. How are you going to make God happy? Rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that imply? You need to open your book. You need to start reading. God is, in a sense, absolutely happy that we come together. But you want to make God happy? Read. Rightly divide. Work. Be a Christian. That's what you do with truth if you have it. That's your responsibility. Look at the more responsibility. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. There's no reason to argue as Christians, because you have the knowledge of what's important. But be gentle to all. Look at what it says. Able to teach. What are you doing with truth? You're not going to quarrel because you know how you ought to act in the house of God. You're going to be gentle. You're going to be able to teach because you've studied and you rightly divided the word of God. You're going to be patient. Sounds a lot like elders. This is where elders have to... You have to be that way too. We have to live up to that standard also. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. That they may, look at the highlight. Why are we doing all this? That they may come to a knowledge of the truth. That they may know it. That's the end goal. You receive truth. You give truth. But it's not going to happen if you don't believe it. And look what it says here in Acts 17 and verse 11. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Early Christians were studying the word of God. And that's what we need to do also. Here's your conclusion. I just want you to test yourself. Look at this. This morning, if you're a Christian, I want you to examine yourselves. And I wanted to this morning go through Galatians chapter 1 to show you the importance of the gospel, to show you the importance of the church, to show you the importance of standing firm, to stand strong, to stand in the word of truth. I want this morning to, if you once loved the Word of God so much that you couldn't get enough of it, and you're not there right now, this morning's Bible class in here is designed to get you to love it again, to start doing it again. You know what? I'll tell you what. I used to run a lot, and I didn't really like it. And I got on the treadmill about 5-6 months ago, and I said, I don't really like this. And I once loved it, and now I need to do it at least 3 or 4 times a week. I don't feel right without it, and I love it. You can learn to love these types of things again. You can learn then to love the Word of God with all your soul. Why? Because your faith is waiting for it. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 15. Examine, test, know. Sounds like a science project on yourself. Examine it. Test yourself that you can have knowledge. Now look at this. Yourselves, 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 you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, right? That you need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Your own. You know what I love about Paul's preaching and teaching? He's not a babysitter. A lot of times people look at preachers like they're the babysitter and they're going to worry about your problems. Paul saw the problems. He wrote it down and he said, here you go. Now fix it. Now fix it. And so this is what I'm challenging you today. If you are lacking with your love for the truth, please rebuild it today. If you have forgotten your walk with Jesus and that truth and the love of it comes through your knowledge of Jesus, please start studying the person of Jesus today. Examine yourself, highlight it, yourself, as to whether you are in the faith. Are you in Christ or not? Test yourself. It's possible to test yourself. Or do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Have you forgotten that He has allowed you to come into Him for the purpose to implement the gospel to people, to bring forth good works? Don't forget, because look, unless indeed you are disqualified, if you've lost your fire, today's the day to put it back. If you've lost those things, change it today. Change it. This morning, if you're not a Christian, what will you do with truth? Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, what did they hear? Well, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached a lesson. Christ and Him crucified, we would all be saved through Him. What I tell you today is truth. Truth that in Jesus Christ is salvation. Outside of Jesus, there is no salvation. In the church is salvation. Outside the church, there is no salvation. In the right doctrine, there's salvation. Outside the right doctrine, there's no salvation. Where's the right doctrine? The Bible. What do we see in the Bible? Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. When they realized the truth, they see it, they got to live it, they know it, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This morning, if you're not a Christian and you realize that you need to really hold that truth up and herald it up, and to take part in your life, for it to be a part of your life, you need to hear the Word of God as we see in the Gospel accounts, as we see in all the conversion accounts. You hear the Word of God, they're believing that. They're believing the truth that comes through Jesus. They understand that a change needs to be made, or they're not going to make it to the eternal resting place of heaven. And they see that, they confess Jesus as the Son of God, they're baptized for the remission of sins, and then they come up out of the water a new person in a new place in the church. And then they got to live for God. And it's baby steps. And you grow and grow and grow. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I'm sure we can find water somewhere to baptize you, to bring you into Christ. This morning, I challenge everyone. Know the truth, be in the truth, be about the truth. Live it in your life. And if you need it in your life, come forward and make that known as we stand and as we sing.